what do we really want concerning God? Do we want God simply to rip open all the clouds and look through and say, here I am? What is it concerning the evidence of God, the proof of God? Do we want God to kind of just come down and dance for us? I mean, what is it that we can do, fallen mankind, all of our issues, and yet we are the ones asking or demanding that God dance for us. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness, live radio broadcast. We're glad that you're here tonight. It is the 29th of November, Monday night. We've got a week long of messages dealing with many infallible proofs. Many infallible proofs. God is knowable. God is there. There is, well, it's more than just the fact that God is there, that God wants to reach us, that God has done more than just, I mean, listen, how does the infinite God, the God that you cannot measure, rip open the skies and pierce his head through and look at us? Some would ask, what does he look like? Where is God? Have we been left alone? Look at this world that we're living in. It's there's no justice. There's radical evil. Things are falling apart. We live. We hurt. Well, I'm looking at the news and I see three little boys are missing in Ohio. I see a father that claimed that he gave the boys, his boys, over to another woman. It was a lie. He's now in the psych criminal ward because he's attempted suicide. I see another lady coming out of a bar. She's working in a bar. Comes out at night, done with everything else. Well, somebody nabbed her. Somebody killed her. She's gone. I see a friend of the lady on the news tonight, and she's crying. My friends, this is the world that we live in. We live in a world where we cry. We live in a world where we die. Listen, so I can understand questions. God's not afraid of the questions, but we may be afraid of the answers. It's not that God has moved. It's not that God has failed. It's not that God has sinned. My dear friends, take a look within. Take a look at your speech, your actions, your history. Sinlessness there? Perfection there? Can you give yourself eternal life? Do you know everything? It might be time to humble ourselves, and listen. This week, Shatter the Darkness, the live radio broadcast, Many Infallible Proofs, a Supernatural Contrast. Now, we're going to take this out of the book of Acts. Chapter 1, where it tells us that the living Christ, raised from the dead, for 40 days was visiting the early disciples and teaching them and guiding them and gave them many infallible proofs that he was alive. And I'm going to tell you right now, wherever you're listening from live, and again, we want to welcome you, satellite, radio, internet radio, let me ask that the Spirit of God would gently and lead you and guide you. If you're a believer, may God just confirm and God embrace and God. Listen, here's a time to have great confidence. God's all about assurance. Let me tell you something right now. Confusion is not of God. God is not the author of confusion. God is about clarity. God is about knowing for sure. And so as we go through this week, I believe that there will be many believers that may gain some great assurance. Assurance that God wants us to have so that you can, on an experiential level, really interact, experience God. But don't forget the supernatural contrast. It's not as though just the hand of God, because of the issues of imperfection and evil in the world, and we die and we rot in graves. There's a reason for all of that, and it's not at the footstool of God. This is at the doormat of mankind. This is at the doormat of your life and my life. We're the ones that caused the separation, obscurities, and everything else. And let me tell you tonight that all during this week, I'm going to talk about the supernatural contrast, but also the intrusive genetic predisposition that, the dirty DNA, the genetic code blocker to God. Some of you listening have it. Some of you that have been saved, you know Christ, you rejoice. I hope that you understand there's been an exchange. That the law of sin and death, that code, that force, that operative code within the totality of you has been rendered powerless. Now dead. Dead. That's what's to be dead. You're to count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. That is a massive contrast. We're going to get into it tonight. This is Russ Dizdar. For all those that are new, we want to welcome you. This is the Shatter the Darkness live broadcast, 6 p.m. to 7, Monday through Friday. And let me tell you, I believe that it is a supernatural hour. I do believe it is a time of providence. So whether you're listening live right now or by the thousands later on, download the archives and you listen then. Those of you, and listen, we pray diligently. We're even going to learn some languages. How to give an introduction to the Russians and the Chinese, those of you in the Czech Republic. And want to say again, hello all over the world, about 90 countries. From all the stuff that's being downloaded, we're just, we're amazed, we really are. And in England, right outside on the edge of London, there, right by Parliament, someone is downloading. And so we want to say hello to the officials there, whoever you are. Hey, listen, don't forget to write us, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. For those who don't know, the website, this is the central website. There's five websites connected to it, including the new Ragged Edge blog. It's shatterthedarkness.net. Just remember, shatterthedarkness.net. If you go there today, you're going to see the theme for the week, Many Infallible Proofs, A Supernatural Contrast. Here's a subtitle, The God Who Is There, Who Speaks, Who Acts, Who Seeks, Who Breaks In and Makes Himself Known. Let me read you what I posted here. Though God has energy, power, and emanates his presence, God is not reduced to material substance that can be taken and dissected by the mind of man. God is not in the box of man's playground. Can't be found by limited science, dry philosophy, or demanding that he dance on mankind's petri dish, a dance we require. God is God, and you and I are not. God has, does, and is making himself known so specifically that humanity, you and I, are left without excuse. The problem is not intellectualism, reason, or God playing hide and seek. The barrier is deep, blinding, and our problem. Many cannot see, feel, or know God because of what's in our genes. Yes, a sort of genetic predisposition. Dirty genes. Code that blocks God. That drives us from God and not to Him. But what is this genetic predisposition and where did it come from? The ultimate reason for the blindedness to God is not because God has not made himself known. It is because of a, well, alternative supernaturalism that also speaks and acts and works against the whole of the human race. And let me just kind of comment off of that quote, that supernaturalism is what is behind the dismantling that we see in the world. That's what's behind the saber rattling. That's what's behind man against man. That's what's behind three boys missing, a woman dead, a woman and a 10-year-old boy slaughtered by the knife of a 30-year-old and a 13-year-old girl stolen for sex in Mount Vernon, Ohio. That's what's behind the radical evil. Why your physical body is dying. Why there's a code within. Why even as a believer, the flesh and the spirit are warfare within. A warfare without. But there is, I'm going to say again, clarity. And there is assurance. And there is, I'm going to tell you what, God wants you to be rock solid, sure, not only of your relationship, but of your ability to walk. And walk strongly and grow powerfully, especially in these days. Now, if you understand these days to be the end of days, then let me tell you right now, many infallible proofs, it's not something that God decided to do 2,000 years ago, first chapter, book of Acts. It's something that God has done all along. Don't reduce Christendom to Catholicism, to Presbyterianism, to the movements that have come along the way. Don't reduce Christendom to rationalistic or reductionism. This is not Christianity reduced by Bultmann and many of the demythologizers of the past. We're talking about the sheer, pure Christendom that comes off the pages of the gospel, off of the pages of the historic book of Acts. I got some great news for you. I've got some great news because I'm going to begin in December. You'll see the website changing somewhat, and you'll see a section up that deals with just the biblical studies. And we're getting ready to begin. I was going to wait till it was all done, but people have asked otherwise. But the book of Acts, we're going to go chapter by chapter, verse by verse. The title of it is Field Manual for the End of Days. See, I'm not one that believes the book of Acts is just past history. I believe it is an incredible teaching tool, a modeling of what is to be here and now. So that many infallible proofs will be given in your life. Listen, I'm going to pray this week that God give you some of those infallible, those very convincing. You know, the kind of convincing where you need no more. The kind of convincing where you are so overwhelmed by the reality of God in your life, Christ in your life, that you are living in sheer confidence, joy. Wouldn't you want that? And I'm going to say that even for four categories of individuals when it comes down to the issue of infallible proofs. I mean, there's a struggle out there. There really is. There's a great struggle. There are those that just don't know. Maybe you're seeking. There are those that are angry and mad. A lot of atheists or new atheists like this. There's the committed Luciferian. Knows what they believe in, knows who they're standing against. And listen, if you're listening tonight, as you do sometimes, you may go all the way to the end. Revelation 19:20 would be your lot. It may be, fourthly, that you may have grabbed something as an alternative, and that's hundreds of millions. That's why we would pray that by God's extraordinary miracle, and the stretching out of the infinite, immeasurable, unlimited hand of God, that we would be able to speak to many, many more, let alone you as an individual. Let me tell you something. Fourthly, there are hundreds of millions. I mean, just simply New Age. You can call it whatever you want, but it's coming up with something that's alternative. I hear this in talk shows. I hear this with individual conversations when we're out doing our evangelizing. I hear this in discussing with individuals. You know, you've got something. You've got spiritual things occurring in your life. You've got spirits speaking to you. You've got, you know, dreams. You've got enablements, powers. All of a sudden, you're knowing things. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. Those things are real, but the counterfeit. And that's what God would say, pseudo, the counterfeit, real. And that's where a lot of Christians need to understand in America, in a lot of the rationalistic areas of theology, and a lot of the liberalism, the demythologizers, well, the old German theologians, the old ones, what they've done. Let me say this. Somebody's written me just lately out of Erie, Pennsylvania. No names. They were asking about a number of things, telling me about their life and asking, do I think it's necessary for them to go to seminary because they want to go full time in ministry? It all depends on what kind of, you know, seminary or biblical school that you end up going to. Let me tell you that all the courses that we are offering, they're college level. They're things that I can teach in a college or a Bible school and have taught for, you know, 20-some years. And it looks like we've recovered some of our lost material. So a 55-hour course called Preemptive Systematic Theology is going to go back up this week. And it's absolutely for anybody who wants it. But I was thinking about, listen, it really does mean, you know, matter where you spend your money. And, you know, to go off to some liberal theological school that that has been infected, enculturated, compromised, why would you want to spend your money there? Why would you want to spend your life there? Only to come out with confusion. There's a great seminary. It begins for all of us at the feet of Jesus, the living Christ, the Lordship of Jesus. Come to me, all of you who are, you know, burdened, heavy laden. Come to the feet of Christ and learn of Him. We've got to understand that there is a living Savior for the saved that is operative by the Spirit of God, the teacher. And this massive content of the Word of God. Can I ask anybody in the audience tonight? How many here have mastered the Bible? You know it all. You know whatever. You know everything that it says. I don't see any hands. And that's a good thing. 36 years of studying and studying and studying and reading and reading and studying. And I love to learn anew. No way that I know it all. And no way have I met somebody that knows it all. There's some people that I think that really know and really are really, I mean, they're at the cutting edge of knowing the Word of God and walking with God, but they don't know it all. You can know and keep growing and keep knowing, but it all begins in your relationship with Christ. So I will tell you that that when it comes to the concept of schooling, and I've been to five of them, and I've been to dozens and dozens of other training places, and I purposely, over all these years, I felt led and guided to go to as many places and thousands and thousands and thousands of books right here in my office. And all the teachers and people, and I want to tell you what, there's some great, great ones. There's some that are confused and can't help you. There are some that are just lost and they're trying to teach theology or trying to teach ministry and they don't even know what it is. So again, we're going to just break this down to say the living Christ, Lordship of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Word of God. You know, it all comes down to what, I mean, that is the high place. That is the seminary. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you want to go learn Greek, you want to go learn Hebrew, you want to go learn apologetics, you want to go, you know, listen, I'm there, man. I'm with you. But it's going to always be under the Lordship of Jesus, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God that you're going to use. It's going to be the grid for all that you do study and all that you do see. So having said that, many infallible proofs. See, I don't believe Christianity is reduced to just rational arguments. We have no problem reasoning things out. Have no problem sitting down and having a discussion or a debate with Richard Dawkins, globally known atheist, who wants to rid the world of religion and wants all Christians to turn to atheists. You know that lonely, empty place? Atheism. And listen, this is why we say in the beginning, God's not here to lower Himself, to come down and dance where we have decided He should dance. In that little statement on the website that I wrote concerning the series, God is God, you and I are not. We don't create the doorway, God does. We don't create the content, God does. We don't create the approach, God does. And the good news is God is not afraid to show himself and give to us many infallible proofs. So let's pray, audience, all of us, all during this week, that God would visit all of us, all the listening audience everywhere, all of those who are listening later on during the week, listen, in up to 90 countries of the world, that God gives many infallible proofs, no differently, wonderfully, just like he did, and as witnessed to in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Maybe you'll want to read the book of Acts this week. Get ready for the study that we're going to be doing things. And listen, all you need to do is go to Acts chapter 1, verse 2. And you'll see about the living Christ after the resurrection. He's about 40 days teaching, and he through the Spirit of God. Now, we read in verse 3, that verse that where I've taken this, where it says, after his suffering, he showed himself. Again, it wasn't that he bowed down to where the disciples were looking, hiding. God's all about revealing himself. Are you looking where God has shown himself? So he shows himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Or if you take a look at some of the Greek words, again, the idea here is that he gives many infallible, convincing, assuring words, appearances. This simple word, it just comes from a Greek word that, and I'll give more definition to it along the week, but a sure sign. It has the idea of sign in it. And it's simply anywhere you look, the basic term or basic definition of the word here is infallible proof. So for those who listen, and here's one of the reasons why I'm thinking this week. Sunday morning, I'm sitting in church, and they have a man that comes who's been doing ministry in Russia for years and years and years. His wife writes Bible study curriculum, and they do Bible studies all over, and they've been in Russia. You could tell his heavy Russian accent. And he was filled with joy, loves Jesus Christ, and he's telling the audience, you don't understand Russia. Probably because of Russia's history, but here's what he's telling us, and this is what burdened me. And this is why I've been praying years ago that we get into Russia, that we have those that begin to download and listen in Russia, including old Psy warriors and military soldiers and others, governmental officials. And here's the reason. God's will is for all. Christ on the cross is explicitly for all, personally, collectively. And the burden for Russia is to get there because, you know, I found this, when God gives a burden, begins to lead you in prayer, it's all about reaching a life. It's all about salvation. It's all about, you know, making himself known. But the Russian missionary man that was at church Sunday burdened me even more. He told the audience, as if he was speaking to me personally, he says, you realize that Russians... He says, village after village after village, so many villages, there's no Christians. He was trying to give for every five, I think he said, for every 500 Russians, there's one believer in Christ. He says that he can go to village after village and villagers will come out and you start to preach the gospel and begin to share. And the villagers or the Russian folks will laugh. And they'll gather together and laugh at the missionary and laugh at the believer in Christ proclaiming the gospel, crying out, look, he actually believes there's a God. And this man gave a picture of the response. Could it be the hardened, cold, anti-God, atheistic communism? Could it be the hard life and the cold life and the severe life? You know, a hard life and a cold life, a life where there has been no unleashing of the gospel, where real believers have been persecuted and shut out, where real grace, mercy, the living Christ, salvation, I see a Russian. On the one hand, drinking their drink, doing their stuff. And that's the centrality of life. Others, hard work, cold places, lack. Others wondering all of the internal division and strife. The pride of Russian people. Military soldiers. Sometimes the only place they have to be to work to have anything. And the corruption and what's going to happen down the road and the resurrection of the old USSR and everything else. See, a lot of people will talk about, and Bible prophecy folks will talk about Russia's part. I'm just thinking of Russian people with a spirit-led confidence that Russians will hear what I'm saying here. Some of you have the ability to send this into Russia, to post it into Russia. And I will ask the Lord to lead you to do so. Because of the love of God, God so loved what? The world. God's not willing that who? The world. Anyone perish. And so that's the motivation. Well, back to tonight's broadcast specifically. Got to mention to you some incredibly good news for all of you. Number one, there's a new program coming, maybe by next week, and starting in December, called Light Along the Way. It's going to be a broadcast teaching by Shelley Dizdar, primarily for women. Anybody can listen, though. And it's coming very soon. Shelley Dizdar, my wife. And she is getting ready to launch a teaching series once a week and begin to present that. And we will have everything you need to connect to that up on our main site. And then we will also, you can find my wife on Facebook. I don't have one yet, but you can find her there and what she's going to be doing. Also, the SIIU unit. The Shatter Intervention Investigative Unit that we've had, and we've kept quiet, but we're going to return it to public status and begin to, again, ask for prayers on cases and cold cases and tell you more about what we're doing. So the link is there for that. Tonight is Monday night, the 29th. Creation screams and holds us accountable. God is and is massive. And our issue, though, and I'm going to say this for those who are doing the Bible study, you can mark down Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 8, primarily two chapters to put together. I want to ask the audience tonight and all the friends of us to remember the three boys in this area that have been, well, they're missing. And I hope like 2 weeks ago, it's not the, you know, the three individuals missing, they were all dead. So let's pray for the three little boys, and they find them alive, and let's ask God to reach out there. Continue to keep us in your prayers. We need your prayers. We really do. For all the things, Friday night outreaches and cult satanic crime cases and, you know, all that we're doing. And I want to say thank you to many of you that have been writing in. And I would love to hear from others just letting us know that you are listening and where you're from. So I appreciate information coming in. I got some information from some of you that are seeking help, some of you that are telling me. I appreciate Tim out west and more information on Illuminati and the WikiLeaks all over the place. There's the guy that tries to, well, he wanted to unleash literally a weapon of mass destruction. If this guy would have been absolutely for real and had all the real stuff, they say it would have leveled a few blocks and killed thousands of people that had gathered for a Christmas tree lighting. Pretty amazing. Dangerous world, you write. Who's behind it all? Well, a lot of, you know, bottom line, we know radical evil. Bottom line, we know that we're in serious confrontation and well, everything else. Let's take a look at three things tonight concerning God's many infallible proofs. And whether you're an atheist, whether you're someone that is listening that says, you know what, I have friends that they just won't believe because they want God, you know, there's not enough proof. And I mean, you can find somebody, it doesn't matter if it's a professor in the university, a guy sitting at the bar. I found even doing street work with homeless individuals, they'll come up with the same questions. Well, you know, God, you know, prove there's a God. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Behind that is, well, there's a lot behind just that phrase. Why does humanity need to even say it? I mean, either God is or is not. If he isn't, if there is no God and Richard Dawkins is right and all there is us, if somehow by some spontaneous Big Bang creation itself spun around and somehow it knew to spawn us and evolve us, it knew we needed air and sun, it knew that we needed a planet so far from the sun that we would have enough heat, it knew that it needed to be on an axis. I mean, listen, somehow spontaneous creation. Is that right? I mean, this is some of the new stuff coming out of some of those. Well, Dawkins is would consider it, but it's not Dawkins so much as it is the scientific world. I mean, science can be very big. Look at the super collider, CERN. Very big stuff. Billions of dollars. Science has done a lot of things. And science is big and multi-billion dollars of, you know, industry. But it can't do everything. The scientist does not recognize that. I mean, there's always going to be a pursuit to learn new things and do new things and find new ways of cures and all good stuff that we all need to, you know, be committed to. But there are places you can't climb. They're just simply places you can't climb. Some will see Mount Everest and decide they got to go to the top. Some will think in terms of God and say, on a material, finite level, somehow we've got to approach God the way we approach a science. We got to approach God the way we approach philosophy. We got to approach God the way, well, many people now, 2012ers and others, are approaching drugs and contact with the spirits. Is that right? Listen, if you're going to approach me, you got to come to my house. You got to contact me. If someone wants to come and talk with me, here I am, an individual and, you know, a person that, you know, wants to talk and respond to everybody. But it's pretty evident that when I'm hundreds and hundreds of emails behind, there's vast limitation. It's not that you're not emailing the right place. It's just the time issue. I'm glad that when I come to God in prayer, there's not the sense that God's tied up. I'm glad that in knowing God and walking with God all these years, there's a very clear sense. There is absolute, total attention given. It's a great Greek word, akouo. I read about this in 1 John 5, that this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears. Akouo, he hears us. God hears me. Sitting on this side of the mic in a study center, there's nobody in the room but me. Thousands of you out there, thousands more later on. Many of you know that as you're listening to this voice, you know, a month later, the guy you're listening to spoke this a month ago. But yet there's something alive in the message. Something alive in communicating God, his will, but according to his revelation. I mean, his email address. Now, you can decide to make up your own email address for God. You can decide to pull God out of the skies and dress him like a totem pole. Dress him like a spirit that hangs out with the shamans. Dress him like Kotze Kotl, make him look like Baal or Shemosh. You can reduce God and point to aliens from another world and think that that's where intelligent design has come from, if you want to. How you doing with that? Satisfied? Does that connect you? Do you know? Do you have confidence? Do you have joy? Do you have relationships? Do you have embrace? Do you have assurance? Does it solve the issue of wrong and guilt inside? Does it solve the issue of what will happen when you die? Creation screams. When you read Romans chapter 1, I'm just going to simply give you the three things. Tonight we'll talk about creation screaming, about God's existence and communication. Tuesday night we're going to talk about the language of God. Wednesday night we're going to talk about God walks the earth. Thursday night we're going to talk about the supernatural activity of God. Signs, wonders, miracles, the Holy Spirit, charismatic gifts. Friday night we're going to talk about lives that are so filled with God that they're such a blazing witness that many come to God through the evidence of God in their lives. Kind of happened to me years ago, long time ago. Gotta understand, not raised in any kind of church, didn't have any background whatsoever, just living a life of partying and doing all the stuff, and no church as a child, and Sunday mornings as a child, it was just get up in time to go with my dad to the Croatian club and be around getting quarters from him, eating snacks, playing with the pinball machine while he and my grandfather and others would drink when they got drunk. And every Sunday we would go home and eat spaghetti, Cheddar's Bakery bread. That was it. Nobody introduced me to God as a child. Nobody in my family knew God. So I don't know how what your background is in all of this, but I want you to hear the entire week. I want some of you that are questers and you're seeking. Maybe you're already grabbing onto some spiritual things, but you know what? It's not God. You know, you reach up for an apple and grab a limb or a leaf and pull it to your mouth and begin to bite. You got something in your hand, but it's not the apple. The apple is the apple. God is God. God is knowable. God makes himself known. God gives many infallible proofs. And again, the kind that we need, not the kind that we, in deception, in self-serving deception, decide that God must do. Listen, do you demand that God dances for you? Do you demand, listen, scientist, if there's any philosophers left, how about the atheist? Do you demand that God dances? I mean, do you kind of take a piece of chalk and go out to the sidewalk and draw a little square and say, God, I demand you fit in this box, you dance in this box, you show me in this box, and then after he does that, do you want more? Okay, God. I mean, do you want God to be like a little dog? Roll over. Bark. Fetch. Is that what we're doing? Hiding behind the veneer that there's no proof? Or you just don't like the proof that God gives? Because it involves confrontation with your sin. Because it involves confrontation with a self-centered and arrogant mind and heart. It's not about the issue of proof in the book of Romans chapter 1. It's not even about so much denial as it is rejection. You ever read it there in Acts 1? Or I'm sorry, Romans 1? I mean, if you've read Romans 1, you've read very clearly that God has made himself known, that he's made himself known in a very clear way, and there's three elements, three Greek words in a couple of cases, it's two words put together. His invisible qualities, number one. Number two, his eternal power, number three, his divine nature. Let me talk about all three of those. And you can check it out in the original Greek if you want to, and just bottom line, it comes down to those three things. That God has made himself known, and these are the three elements, or the three, and again, this deals with not only just the proof issue, but how. We're dealing with creation itself. Creation is awesome. Creation is sentient. Creation is sacred. Creation is spiritual. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's without question. There is a deep communication from creation. The incredible beauty of the stars, the universe, the waters and the mountains, the absolute beauty of everything that we can see, at least where fallen mankind has not raped the earth. Creation. I mean, creation, it is not spontaneous creation out of nothing in some random chance. It is about special design out of God, not ex nihilo, out of nothing, out of God. Ex theos, out of God. Out of God comes creation. The material existence owes its existence to the non-material, but yet present God. The problem is, if you study and you dig in the sand pile, let's just say you have a sand pile up back. You know how kids have a sandbox? And you look for all of the world's information in the sandbox. And you dig in the sandbox, and you make the sand wet, and you form little mountains, and you make little tunnels, and you dig deep, and you move the sand to this side, you move the sand to that side. You let the sand get dry. You check out the sand left, right, upside down, every way. You taste the sand. Kids do that sometimes, you know. Scientist, that's all you have. You have the material universe, which is vast. There's no scientist that has come to the come to the end of the study of the universe and of all of its properties, of the particles and the quarks and the God particle and all the rest. I'm getting ready to watch a video late tonight, neutrinos. And it's all fascinating, but see, my perspective is, and as I see fascinating things, there's such an interaction with God, a rejoicing. Because creation, by design, emanates, witnesses to, reveals God's very being. Three things. His invisible qualities. Now, you could read this for yourself, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. You can read verse 20 where it says, for since from the very beginning of creation, talking about all materials, existence, God's, number one, listen, invisible qualities, invisible things, the sense of the invisible God. I mean, we read about it later in the book of Titus, I believe, where it talks about the invisible God, the immortal God. The infinite God, the immeasurable God. I mean, to our physical eyes, there are many things that are invisible. And like years ago, I sat on the beach, Huntington Beach, California, where my mom lived. And I sat there squinting my eyes, just talking to the Lord, sitting there as the waves continued to roll, remembering Isaiah chapter 48. And as I did that, I'm listening. To the sounds, and I'm squinting my eyes saying, Lord, am I able to see? How far can I see Japan or China? How far can these... Have we come to the conclusion that our physical eyes can only go so far? Gosh, I would say 10 years ago, I could see just everything. I could read the tiniest print little pocket Bible. Now 10 years later, I buy these little glasses at a little store. I start out with the 100 proof and then the 150 proof. I'm up to 200. I even buy eye vitamins now. I'm looking at a screen, but I do have the print up a little bit. Oh, I see, I think pretty good, but not like I used to. Your life and my life in a fallen world on a physical level, because of the code within, in the genetics, in our genes, something's happening. We're fading. We're dying. You can't stop it. And if you're the angry atheist, or if you're someone who says, I just don't know, or if you're the committed Luciferian, or if you're like a New Ager or an occultist or a Wiccan or somebody that's into something spiritual, psychic, whatever, but it's not God, or simply, if you're someone who just simply loves sin, in all three categories, do you know God? Can you, listen, many people will come to the conclusion, well, you know, God cannot be known because you don't know God. God's not there because you don't know God. Even the agnostic understands, and really their premise is self-defeating. When the agnostic declares, you can't know anything for sure, but you've just spoken a for sure, you know, sentence. How do you know that for sure? How do you know you can't know? To the atheist now that's kind of devolving into the agnostic, saying simply, well, we're not saying that God's not there. You just can't know. Based on who? Your sandbox? How many times you've turned the sand over? How many times you've moved the sand? How many times you've sat in the sandbox and demanded that in that sandbox, in your time, in your way, you want God to bark, roll over, or go fetch? And God's simply not going to do that. Because the many infallible proofs, the revelation of God, the approach of God, and this is where every believer in Christ, especially if you're involved in evangelism, you've got to be very confident about the presence and the power of God as a sure and absolute infallible witness into the depths of the heart of mankind. Because it's not about God not being there, it's about denial. It's not about God not, you know, showing what we demand he show. It's about rejection. God has done some things. Revelation 1:20. God's invisible qualities, number one. God's eternal power. Dunamis is the Greek word, the expressed power of God. But it's eternal power. It's not the finite spirits. Finite spirits have power. Luciferians and all those who are in the spirits. Yes, that's true. Finite spirits, fallen angels, demons, they have power. Satan has power. And it can seem great to some in and of itself in its own little sandbox. It's finite, though. Here we're talking about eternal power. God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. Listen to the three things that the Word of God that carries his presence in it, by the way, which we're going to talk about tomorrow. We're going to talk about God and the evidence of God is clearly seen. Listen now, being understood, a Greek word that has the idea of with the mind, with the ability to perceive and know with the mind, cognitive. The existence of God, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Every scientist studying an atom will get the witness of the invisible qualities, the eternal power, divine nature. This is so evident in the hundreds of millions of dollars spent with CERN, the super collider. I mean, if that's only what it's used for, trying to get the God particle, trying to somehow snatch through their energy smashing, you know, and bring about the God particle through the Atlas, the detector. Let me ask you something. Once again, it's so big, so vast to the scientist's mind, to all of us, but it's simply in the scheme of the infinite and the difference between the material and the immaterial, It's a sandbox. It can absolutely only go so far. But in the study of the electrons, protons, the atom, in the study of the material universe, you are studying creation, which has housed in every atom, every molecule, every ounce of material existence, there is a witness, a communication. Study the atom and look for the invisible qualities of God. Study the atom and see the witness of the eternal power of God. Study the atom and see a sense of the Godhead. It all gives a witness to the immeasurable, the invisible, the infinite, the but yet knowable God. But knowable by what manner? Once again, if you go to Chicago and you go downtown and you go to a steak place and you go in and you go to the back kitchen and demand to see Russ Dizdar, you're not going to find me. And if you're going to stand there among, the, you know, in that restaurant yelling at all the chefs, I don't believe Russ Dizdar's real. I don't believe he exists because you're looking in the wrong place. I'm going to tell you again, out of five categories we're going to look at this week, there are those of you that might say, I just don't know. I'm not sure. Well, I'm glad you're here because this is all about God drawing you in, God making himself known so that you can know that you know that you know, experience, and one day see God. I began the show by saying, what do we want? God to split open the skies and to look through? You know, maybe for some that would be okay. Others might just say, that scared me. For Moses, he could only handle the trail end of the robes of God. When he wanted to see the glory of God, he was hidden in the cleft of the rock because God's visible manifest presence is so beyond the finite ability. That's why there's a glorification coming. That's why in the glorification, we are made able. Listen, believer, rejoice in this. You can dance in this one, that you'll be made able to see God face to face, to interact. But you got to have those immortal, indestructible, glorified eyes. Purchased at the cross for the sum total of humanity, by a spiritual act of someone who demonstrated the greatest of all loves. Now we're going to talk about Jesus and the infallible proof of God in human flesh. We're going to talk about him on Wednesday night, and we're going to confront the world of occultism, the New Age, the secret societies, the psychics, and even the remote viewers. Those who are dancing in the light, but it's not the light of God. That's why you can't know God. And that's why you can't lead anybody to God. You dance with the spirits that have made themselves look like light or seem like that. You got some spiritual stuff in your hand, but you're grasping the leaf. You're grasping the twig, not the apple. And so I want to present this so weak that creation itself is a living, sentient, sacred witness of God. What we do with that witness is another issue. Verse 21, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking, because of choice, became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Listen now, although this is humanity as a whole, God is saying this. This is now outside your sandbox and my sandbox. This is God saying this to the world that is fallen, the world that has got sin, the world that's got that predisposed presence within the very DNA. Romans 8, a code, an operative code that is hostile to God that drives mankind away from God. That I'm going to talk about all week long. There is a substance, a presence, an abnormality, a sickness, a disease, a code, an operative code in fallen humanity. It drives to say, don't know God, get away from God, be hostile to God, declare that he doesn't exist, declare, you know, come up with reasons why. Something deep, deep, deep within. It's inseparably connected to the death code, the death gene. You know, the DNA within that can't eventually replicate itself any longer. Something wrong. Geneticists can't fix it. Our bodies age. They're not aging, they're dying. It's like taking an apple and plucking it and setting it out in the sun. Leave it there day after day after day. Eventually, I picked up an apple in our house the other day. Actually, I moved it and let it there. I left it there for a couple of weeks. It's crinkled. It's soft. It's mushy. I'm not going to eat it. It's rotting. Physically, our bodies, hear me out, are rotting. In dying you shall die. God said that. That's the reason. Science can describe or give some elements to that dying, aging. But it's God that says the wages of sin is death. But on the other side of that, on the flip side, the gift of God is eternal life. And this eternal life is so big, so broad, so needed in your life and in mine that God gives many infallible proofs. And may God give to you if you are a seeker, if you're just simply mad at God, if you're just simply angry, if you're a committed Luciferian, if you're a preoccupied spiritualist or New Ager or occultist, maybe you're just loving sin. May the Spirit of God, may God's hand, and that's what we're praying this week. And all the believers, pray with me for all over the world and for this living, live audience. May the living Christ, as in the book of Acts, give many convincing, infallible proofs that he's alive. And that means that if you're lost, God is drawing you to know him. You can know him right now. You can turn to the living Christ. Maybe you're saying in your heart right now, you know what? I know all this. I'm tired of waiting, tired of denying, tired of rejecting, tired of living in your sin. Right now, just raise your arms towards the heavens and close your eyes and cry out, Lord Jesus Christ, I accept you as Lord and Savior. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Come in with the Spirit of God. Listen, write to me. Rust is dar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Remember us in your prayers. Hey, remember us in support. Good night.